I'm glad to see you. We're going to put a wrap on the book of Colossians today, and I have this cool way that I had planned to do it, and I hope that I can pull it off. So I'm going to almost kind of do just a survey where we read through the book and hit its highlights, but let me just say, yes, all right, and so I did it. Let me just say this about it. Simple. Here's the simplest version of it that I can give you. You have been loved. You're safe in that love. Go in the security and peace of that love and love. That's the simplest version I can give you of the whole book. Here's one layer thicker. Still, just a summary. Don't let anything take you away from believing Christ, from believing in Christ, particularly in his finished work for you. Then live filled with the love of God against the backdrop of inside and outside miseries and sin, and let God's love shine through you to everyone else. That's another way to say the same thing. And remember our story, what was the problem at Colossae, they had gotten into all sorts of religious gobbledygook, wondering or not if it was cool to, you know, start service at 4 o'clock on Super Bowl night or not, stuff like that. And honestly, that's one of the things that it talks about in Colossians. It says you guys have gotten all weird about the days of the week and the Sabbaths and the new moons and all these feasts and all this stuff, and you've gotten into this asceticism and angel worship and all this kind of religious hoopity-hop, and here's what it's done to you. It's taken you away from Christ, and it's made you forget him, and it's made you forget his preeminence and his work, and that he's enough. That's what it's done for you. And so there's this simplicity about living in Christ. Christ is enough. What's the answer to, can we come and do the gathering an hour before the Super Bowl? Christ is enough. You know, he don't care when we do it. We could do it in the middle of the Super Bowl. In other words, God hasn't accepted me more if I do it during the middle of the Super Bowl, sacrificing it for my religious consciousness than he has if I do it before. I mean, that's the point of it. And the point of it is, if you think that he has, you've lost sight of Christ, and you've lost sight of how big he is and how finished his work is and how much he's accepted you based on nothing other than what he did for you, not what you've done for him. So that's kind of the meat and the taters of the whole thing. But let's see how Paul went about making the case. He starts in Colossians, and remember, I'm only skipping. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip a rock across what I think are these highlights that string it together, if you will. So the problem I've already given you, they were getting way religious in a whole bunch of different areas and missing Jesus. And so here's how he goes about setting them straight. Rather than, and he has a short little passage, you remember this in chapter 2, where he talks about all the details of the stuff they'd gotten all into, but primarily the whole book is not about that at all. It's just about Jesus and how we should live based on being in Jesus. And so here let's start with him. In chapter 1, he says that Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God. Has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus, and Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. So that's what he's just doing. He's just locking us down to where no matter how wide or deep or high, or whether you're talking about a president or you're talking about a kingdom over here or a banking institution, or it doesn't matter what you're talking about. Every dominion, every authority, everything, period, dot, is under his authority, control, superintendence, and he's holding it all together for himself and for his own glory, right? Okay. So then, and then it says, and he, Jesus, is the head of his body, and that's the church. That's the church. That's us. So he's the head of the body. And we talked about that means, you know, if the body, there's a passage in here where it says if the body's hurting, that we're hurting with the body, right? So he's the head of the body and the church, and he's the beginning of the church, and he's the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might be preeminent. And your issue is, and my issue is, that when Christ isn't preeminent, all the rest of us falls apart, right? My focus, my problem always is Jesus in some way. In some way, my problem is Jesus. If you get back to that, my problem's Jesus. And so, and then he says that here's the good news for you. The good news for you is that Christ is in you, and that's the hope of glory. That is what Jesus was going to do, which was glorify himself. That all these things were from him and through him and to him, and he was holding all things together, and they were for him, and they were for his glory. And the reason that you're going to be able to be delivered into that, he's transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into light, is because Christ is in you. And that's the hope of glory. That's the hope of your being able to glorify him, is one aspect of that. That's also the hope of him glorify himself through you. And that's also the hope of ultimately us being with him in glory. All that is wrapped up in that massive statement. And then he says this. Well, then therefore, if that's true, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, as Lord, so walk in him. Now, and this is the point of the rest of the book. Is that as you've received the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I thought that this is such a big summary verse that the rest of everything I'm going to say gets to, that I would just slow down here for 1 second to say it like this. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever had an experience like this, but like how many of you have ever been in a serious car wreck, like a life-threatening car wreck? Raise your hand. Nobody? You have. Okay, one. But here's the deal. How many of you have ever been through a life-threatening ordeal? Let me say it that way. Okay, several of us have. Where at the end of it, yeah, Clifton, times like six. And so, where everybody around you, and I don't know if he does, but all of us are sitting there, you know, praying to God to let him live another day. So Roseanne surely has, that's for sure. And so, but here's my point about all that. And even those of us who have, interestingly, in this season, this last year, those of us who have gotten COVID, especially if we're your age, you know, and your mama's age, you know, there's like this, ruh-roh, am I on my last 3 weeks or not? I don't know if you felt, did you think of that ever? You didn't ever? Oh, me of little faith. Exactly. Lord have mercy. I'm confident that would be my first thought. So, anyways, let me just say this. I've been around people who've had really, really dark news, you know. This is likely going to kill you, you know, something like that, you know. And then I don't know if you've ever heard of this this kind of deathbed promises that we make to God. Have you ever heard of those? You know, like, God, if you just spare me, the Hezekiah prayer, you know. God, if you'll just give me some more time, I'll do whatever, right? I'll serve you, man. I mean, if you'll just get me out of this. I mean, like, I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that's had that experience I have, or if you've had that experience, but here's the point of it. If you ever got the truth of your salvation, that's how you'd always live, because that's what he did. He delivered you out of literally death and hell and ruin, and delivered you into the kingdom of light of his dear son, right? I mean, like, and he says that so we walk, so now what we do is that because that's our reality, well, we walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the truth of that, and abounding in thanksgiving, you know? Lord, man, if you just, I promise. And then, of course, right when it happens, we're just so thankful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, man. I'm going to live the rest of my life. I had a guy one time that had a really bad wreck and had a guy. I mean, you know, I have a friend. Had a guy. I don't know what's up with that. And so, anyways, you know, he had a really bad wreck, you know, and it's like, and he was messed up. He was like alcoholic and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Lord, you know, if you'll just save me, you know, I'll never drink again. Guess what? He didn't. What was he doing? He was abounding in thanksgiving, right? He was living out his life oriented in the grace of God. God had been gracious to him, and he was going to live his life in thanksgiving to the God who had been gracious to him. Does that make sense? Well, here's the deal. So, isn't it true, just Sunday school true, isn't it true that God has given that same grace to us in Christ, right? Okay, so then, what's our problem then? How is it then that we don't walk in it? Well, what is it really? I mean, honestly, it's we forget about it, don't we? Or we don't meditate on the depth of it, or we don't see the depth of it, or we don't enjoy it, and we don't tell it to each other. Tell me the old story, write on my heart every word. You know, we're not doing that. You know, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. We're not doing that. We're not rooting our hearts and establishing our hearts and speaking over each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, which, by the way, is in this text a couple verses down. And so, but that's the point. Paul says, if you really get it, if you get Jesus and Jesus' love for you and how Jesus is caring for you, not might care for you, but and then you'll live out of thanksgiving. So then what does he do? He goes, well, just in case you forgot, and this is what he says, so then see to it that nobody takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. And this is some of the garbage they had fallen into. According to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. That was kind of a summary statement that he'll unpack a few verses down. We're not going to go back into that. But what his point was is that not according to Christ. There's all kinds of religious gobbledygook hoops that people will have you jumping through that miss Christ altogether. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Yeah. So, like, you know, well, here's one. By the way, I've done all the things I'm fixing to say. None of this stuff is, like, new. This is all my story. So, well, it's okay to have the Super Bowl and actually even show it on our big screen, but in the middle, you have to have a gospel presentation. You know, that kind of justifies it. You know what I mean? It makes it spiritual. You know, and I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm a sick man. Okay. So in him, so see to it that no one lets you do that, right? For in Jesus, the whole fullness of God, of the Godhead, of deity, dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Jesus. You've received the same thing that Jesus received. Who is the head and rule of all authority? And in Jesus, and here he talks about he does the gospel, and because right, this is the thing he's trying to remind you of, the grace that God gave you. So in Jesus, you also were circumcised with a circumcision that was made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Jesus, having been buried with him in baptism, that spiritually, and spiritually circumcised, right? In who you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Who is that? All of us, right? All of us. This is his point. All of us. God has made you alive together with Jesus. And he's forgiven you all your trespasses. And he canceled the record of debt that stood against you with every legal demand. Everything that was, but that God justly and righteously had against you because of who you are and how you are, right? And ask your wife if you don't want, if you want to see what that list looks like, right? God canceled that debt. But he canceled that debt in a particular way. And how was it? That he set aside, nailing it to Jesus on the cross. So his point is that, you know, I killed Jesus for all the stuff that you're still sweating the load about. And here's the problem. You're sweating the load about it in order to earn the favor of God, which Jesus has already earned on your behalf. And what you ought to do is be walking in it out of thanksgiving. Does that make sense? In other words, here's the deal. God, I'll do whatever you want if you'll cure me of cancer. Right? Well, and so then God goes, well, you know, what if he just said, well, you know, I need you to clean your act up. Well, all right, I'll clean it up, you know, and I need you to, you know, do all this kind of stuff. But that's not how God works, is it? God's not trading favors with man. What God does is he loved his church from the foundation of the world, and his church fell in disobedience and spiritual adultery and became sinners and dead in their trespasses and sin and in the uncircumcision of their flesh. And God sent Jesus, the husband of the church, to rescue her. And he rescued her by dying for her sins, by taking her charges on himself, and so that she could live out her life in thanksgiving to her husband who lived for her and died for her. Does that make sense? And so then that's it. Well, you know, why are you so nuts about Jesus? Well, if you knew what he did for me, you'd be nuts about him too. And have you ever had this part of it? This part of it is the kind of maybe tender side of it, if you will. Has somebody ever done something so awesome to you and loved you so much that nobody else can get to you that day? You're like, dude, don't even try. I'm on cloud nine. You know what I'm saying? The little lovebirds over here, they do it all the time. Don't even try messing with me, man. I am loved, right? Okay, so, right, but you know that feeling. It's like people can't get to you. Why? Because the love that you're experiencing is covering up all the sins. Not only you know, it's just like it reorients you. I have received such grace and such love from God that your sins don't bother me. And what can I do then? Well, then I can act out a love towards you that's very different, can't I? I can act out a grace-filled love towards you. And what does that mean? That means that, dude, man, if God has done the same thing for you that he's done for me, that you've experienced the same love. And if you haven't and you're sitting there pouting and complaining, let me remind you. And that's what Paul's doing in this whole thing. They had gotten up, caught up in all this religious stuff, and it had made them forget this glorious truth. And so then he says in 3, he says, so then if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. And we talked a lot about this. So I'm just going to read it and then make a comment here in a second. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died, and now your life is hidden with Jesus in God. And put to death, therefore, whatever's earthly in you, that old man, that foolish guy that wants to go back and do the stuff that isn't out of the thanksgiving to God, that doesn't honor and glorify Jesus. And then seeing that you've put off your old self with its practices, and you've put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator, who is Jesus. And put on then, as God's chosen ones, that's the church, that's us, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, putting up with one another. And if anybody has a complaint with one another, well, forgive each other. Why? Jesus forgave you. And the natural thing to do when I'm acting out the love and the forgiveness that Jesus gave me is to put up with you and forgive you. When you're a knucklehead, because I have been put up with and forgiven when I was. And so then he says this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It binds everything together in perfect harmony. And okay, so let me say a second about that. Here's what that means. So it was love that we love because how come again? He first loved us, right? So God loved us, his church, right? And he like put up with us. He was long-suffering with us. He paid for our sins. He bore them in his own body on the tree. And it was a sacrificial love. It was all that kind of stuff. And so that love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that love constrains me. That is, that love kind of forces me to like see how loved I am so that I love. Right, you ain't going to get to me. It's like that God's love is some Teflon shield that has come over my heart to where no matter how much you fire at it, it's just going to hit and bounce off. And I'm actually going to be free then to do what? To continue the love that God has given me to you. So that the love of God constrains me, and the Bible says in that next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15, so that I no longer live for myself, but I live for him who loved me and gave himself for me, right? So that's it. I'm living for the one who loved me. I'm living for the one who loved me. And remember the great critique on the church. The great critique on the church is my favorite church because it was a church that had their doctrine right. You guys have held fast against Satan. You guys know have your act together. You've read, you all have systematic theology degrees. You're all just tied as a zipper. And here's what he says, though, about it. What does he say? You've lost your first what? Love. You forgot that this whole thing's about love. And so what he says, look, you know what binds the whole thing together? It's my love for you. That's it. It keeps you guys one, but it also keeps you guys loving. And that's it. That's the whole game. And don't get off that. And don't try to do all this foolish religious stuff. Don't do it. You've been loved by me. Love. And then he starts unpacking that. And in the whole rest of the book, he says, so here's what you do. Hey, wives, you go wive well, and husbands, you go husbands well, and parents, you go parents well, and parenting grace. Don't stink and exasperate your children, and workers go work well, and bosses boss well, and then he just goes on, and he just kind of summarizes all the things that we looked at when we went through Ephesians, and then he says, conduct yourselves wisely, and make the most of your time. And then he just has these, you know, salutary remarks to a bunch of his buddies, and the setup is this. He says, I've sent Tychicus for you so that he can find out how you are and so that he can encourage you. And with him, I sent Onesimus, and he's our faithful and beloved brother, and he's one of you. And they're going to tell you everything that took place here. And that's a setup for next week. And we're going to go into the book of Philemon, the little book of Philemon about Onesimus. And so Colossians, it was the church where Onesimus's master went. And so band, come up, and we're going to get out of here. Listen, here's the book of Colossians. Don't let anything take you away from Christ. And don't let anything take you away from the love of Christ. And don't let anything take you away from what God has done for you in Christ. And live out of that love. Let that love be the thing that expands your heart, that deepens your heart, that makes you love. And then just go love each other. And love the world. And love. And this is what... Here's the old song. What the world needs now. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to, they could sing it probably for us. But here's my point. And isn't that the message? I mean, and isn't it the message, honestly, in the United States of America over the last couple years? Goodness gracious, man. We've just got to figure out how to love each other. And I'm telling you, if the church stumbles into this non-loving garbage, it's because they've forgot how much they were loved. They've lost their first love, and they don't remember the height from which they've fallen. Man, we're loved. We're forgiven. We've got it all. We've got it all. We've got somebody, the God of the universe, who actually loves us like nobody's business. And we've got to live that out. And we got to live that out for Christ's sake. All right. Lord, we love you. And thanks for loving us.